I'm always worried about the technology defeating me, so. Right. I have no financial relationships to disclose. First, before I begin, you know, we say Riverside County, and so just for those who don't know, you know, where the heck is Riverside County? We're in Southern California, about 60 miles east of Los Angeles. You see us there between Los Angeles and San Diego. And actually, Riverside County has the fourth largest population in California, and of U.S. counties, is the 11th largest population in the U.S. And then our public health department, we serve about 2.1 million people, and with a staff of nearly 800, and we also run 10 primary care centers located throughout the county. So just to give you a little sense of the size of the ship that we're trying to steer here. And actually, for those of you planning any winter vacations, we're also home to the desert resort of Palm Springs, California. So, all right, so really, why am I here? My title is very sort of, you know, officious. But really, what I want to do is just add our voice to the growing list of local jurisdictions starting to work on health equity and social determinants of health issues. And this is such a big, really overwhelming task for a local agency and relatively new for a lot of us. It really becomes much easier with some help from friends. And that's really what I'm here today, is just to add our voice to that. So we knew we wanted to start addressing issues of health disparities, but really looking, adding that sort of social justice and that judgment to it, and looking at health equity instead, and weren't really sure exactly what to do. So we did what any governmental agency does. We formed a committee. And our first committee was formed in 2008, sort of a small exploratory health disparities, health equity committee that reported directly to our director of public health. And I have to say, in the beginning, our vision was fairly ill-defined. And frankly, that's because our understanding of the issues at that time weren't very sophisticated, right? And so, but we spent probably a good year and a half, really educating ourselves in this smaller committee on the issues of the social determinants of health, health equity, health inequities, and how they relate to the populations in Riverside County, which, by the way, Riverside County is a majority-minority population in our county. And so, like most folks, we don't have any shortage of health inequities in our county. It took us about a year and a half, and then we did manage to finally get some goals and objectives, some SMART objectives written out. And we really decided at that point that we needed to get our own house in order and start working on some internal policies that were a little more comprehensive than the standard sort of cultural competence junk that, you know, any government agency sort of has. And we needed to get the rest of the staff on board and educated on the issues. And so then that's really what we started focusing on. So a lot of our current work is a major training program, which I have another slide I'm going to talk about, that we stole the template from another county, Alameda County, which is in Northern California near the Bay Area. And and we're all also working on developing policies, which I'm going to talk about. And so really, I mean, a lot of our current work has been really focused on internal development, so that we can actually, as a department, be much more sophisticated and then move forward. And when we speak to the community, we can actually be a better partner with the community and have a much more intelligent conversation with them. For our health equity committee and for the successes we have had so far, some of the necessary components that we've discovered are essential in this whole process is, number one, a really dedicated small group of true believers that will just persevere through the sort of retreads and long discussions and debates. And, you know, for those of you in government agencies, you know how what kind of time frame we can often be talking about. And you need some really dedicated folks who will just keep plugging along. Another major component, and we were fortunate enough to have this, is 100% support from your administration. That is absolutely essential, or I believe you'd be dead in the water. And so from our Director of Public Health, our health officer, all of the deputy directors under her, it's really just been, 100% support on the work of the committee. And in fact, all of them are committee members, but we work on modeling the behavior and the sort of the social model that we're hoping for. So their votes don't count more than the other votes on the equity committee. It's we build this out through consensus with an understanding that other people have responsibilities and experiences and backgrounds that can bring things to the conversation. And so we listen to their expertise when it comes to policy and the department and where we're going to go. But the decisions made by the Health Equity Committee are made through consensus. Well, some of the challenges, of course, that we faced, you can probably think of. One is anytime we get any significant number of new members on the Health Equity Committee, we run the danger of re-debating all the old debates again because they haven't been involved in the process. And so we've been trying to develop a sort of a member packet that says, now you're a new member, before you ask any questions or make us revisit anything, please read this first, right? Just to try and cut through that. So that was a mistake we made at the beginning, was not having something like that to bring new members aboard. And obviously challenges, this is all voluntary. The health equity members, all of our efforts, we don't have any permanent staff members. We don't have a coordinator, like a health equity coordinator. The budget right now just wouldn't allow for something like that because, of course, we're facing the same budget constraints that everyone else has. And there's no designated budget for the work that we're doing. It's been piecemeal. This unit can do some photocopying for us. Everyone's volunteering their staff time. Oh my gosh, we need a laptop and a projector. So this program over here has a spare one that we can loan out. And really, that's how we've been able to do that. And and we're a large agency, but I figure if we can do this on essentially no money, very, very, very little money, you know, it's a model that people can move forward with that, you know, anyone could do, anyone could copy. Some of the successes that we've had, and a few things that we're very proud of, one is our six-part training program that we titled Public Health, Improving Health for All. The Alameda County Public Health actually developed a five-part training series that was the template for this. And we've had phone conversations with them, and they really helped us along. That said, and it's, of course, always easier to edit than it is to create. But that said, it took us, a year to evaluate each of the modules, go through theirs, and then begin to re-edit them for our own purposes and our own needs, which, by the way, Alameda County allows all this. They have it on their website. You can download everything. They have the facilitator notes. Our goal is to, once we have all six implemented, is to also do the same, put ours up there, and people can download both and then see the differences and the changes and get that out there. Last April, we were able to implement Module 1, which is just a Public Health 101, the three core functions, 10 essential services of public health, a little public health history, and we really have nearly 700 people now all of our staff already through it. Each module's 4 hours. It's mandatory for all staff, from an office assistant to the director of public health, or the health officer. The health officer was actually in a session I was facilitating, and it was a little bit strange talking about the structure of our agency to our health officer, but it's mandatory for all staff, so he was there. And now, next week, actually, we launch Module 2, our cultural competency, cultural acceptance. Alameda County calls it cultural competency and cultural humility, and then our working group just changed the words around a little bit, and then we've made alterations to the content. Module 3, which will be next April, we launch is Undoing Racism, the social determinants of health and health inequities, and then we added a module, Undoing Discrimination, Gender Identity, and Sexual Orientation. And this is something that Riverside County decided was important to add. We have an unusual demographic situation in our county where we both have, per capita, one of the larger LGBT populations in the country, and at the same time our county is socially pretty conservative, particularly for California. And so, and that creates an environment where there can be a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of tension, a lot of friction, and so we felt it important to specifically address some of those issues with all of our staff. And then each of these build on the other to finish with community capacity building, which frankly our department could be better at, and so we have that as the final training module to really help us be much better partner with the community. Right, I need to wrap up, but we are currently working on cultural competence and health equity policies. We are running into some issues with measurability and enforcement of those policies. These are internal policies. So if anyone has any ideas about that, please contact me. I would love to hear about it. And we have managed to get health equity language in our next strategic plan for the department, which was a big win. That was one of our big successes, and we're very pleased about that, putting us in line with the nation and the state of California. Now Riverside County is in line with that, and we're very happy. And I believe, am I done? Am I out of time? Okay. I'm trying to edit down my talk as we're talking. I was thinking 15 minutes instead of 10. Some of our next steps, we are just now opening up our membership to the administrators of some other county departments. Our Office on Aging, Mental Health Departments, and Department of Social Services are different departments from us, and we're bringing in the administrators from those under a health equity committee. And then once we bring them aboard, then we're finally getting to where we feel confident enough and have the guts to open up our committee to community representatives as well. Which I think you understand is a little bit of a brave step, and so we're feeling much more secure and ready to do that. We're making new partnerships with planning departments, and in fact, we now have a full-time urban planner on staff in our health department, which is helping us talk to actually planning departments, both with the county and other cities. Our county has managed to get a health element, a health section in our county general plan, so that health is now a consideration for all future development in our county, and our health planner is working with the cities within our county to do the same for the city general plans. Also, our epidemiology department and our nutrition services department are now looking at food deserts, and moving forward with things like corner store conversions and things like that to try and increase food in our low-income areas. Like I said, land use and then community capacity building is our much larger range goal. And then, of course, in my presentation, I have some resources. Thank you very much.